Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh my goodness me! What a fantastic goal! What a goal! That is absolutely superb!
Huge cheers go up around Emirates Stadium.
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of the 18th of December 2017. I'm your host, Russell Hargreaves. Coming up on today's show, Danny Welbeck tells us about some of his footballing mentors. We look at the letter E in the A to Z of Arsenal. Adrian Clarke previews a huge Friday night clash against Liverpool at the chalkboard. Kick off by looking back at a double Premier League game week with our Arsenal insider.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Michael McMullen, top Irish broadcaster and, of course, big Arsenal fan and regular contributor to the show, joins us on the line now. Michael, good to have you back on board. How's it going?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Russ. Good to be here with you, especially after a good result at the weekend, which was, I think, much needed, really, after a frustrating couple of games before that.
Absolutely. We'll talk Newcastle in plenty of detail in a moment. But let's touch, first of all, on events at the London Stadium that started our latest double game week. And, as you say, a frustrating night as David Moyes' improving Hammers hold the Gunners to that goalless draw.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, I was a bit worried about that game because obviously, you know, they were going in off the back of the Chelsea result. They were sort of getting that new manager bounce, but getting it maybe a little bit later than teams usually do. So they are an improving side, and I think they're a better team than maybe their results suggest, although I think you could say that about a number of teams in the Premier League this season. But, you know, in the end, we were almost coming out a little bit relieved. It was hard to know sort of what exactly to make of that match, and, you know, should we be pleased with the results? Or, you know, are disappointed that we didn't take all 3 points. But, you know, we've had too many defeats in the league already this season. You know, psychologically, as much as anything, it was important that we didn't have another one. But we knew off the back of those two draws, two very different draws in the space of a few days, that we really needed to win then in the Newcastle game. And obviously that set up a very tense Saturday afternoon.
Now, a change in formation for both of these games and back to effectively a flat back four, it caused a couple of personnel casualties, some tweaks. What did you make of it?
Well, I was surprised by it because I thought things had been working well. And of course, you know, you make the change, then we don't score against West Ham. You know, and it's very, very rare that Arsenal don't score in a Premier League game. So I don't really know exactly what the thinking was in that one. And I was certainly surprised to see it. And it'll be interesting to see now in the second half of the season, is this going to be the way of things, or are we going to go back to the sort of formation that we had towards the end of last season? But I do sometimes feel with Arsene, and it's not a criticism of him, I think it's a reflection of the depth of the squad he's put together. Sometimes he almost has too many options, and then that leads to a certain amount of confusion. I think there's a lot to be said for maybe, you know, your team and your formation to some extent picking itself. So I think maybe that is perhaps the issue at times, that, you know, there are so many possibilities, and with so many versatile players, there's so much that he can do with what he has at his disposal, that maybe sometimes it's very, very difficult for him to be certain of what the best way is. But with so many games now coming thick and fast, it's going to be interesting to see, will there be more experimentation? Is he going to give things, you know, a bit of a run with you know, the sort of approach he's taken in recent games?
Just back to West Ham for a moment. Had Hernandez's shot gone in, of course, when it rattled the bar and stayed out, it could have been a very different story, and a chance almost for redemption with the same team in the Carabao Cup as well.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's funny, like, this scheduling of the fifth round of the League Cup matches. It's coming just before, you know, such an important run and such a big game now on Friday. But, you know, you wonder then, I mean, you have to think, will any of the teams really, you know, be fielding their top sides in the fifth round? But I think, you know, what we're seeing now in the League Cup, and of course in the Europa League this season, is that even Arsenal's second string, still a very strong side. It's not like the old days of 18 and 19-year-olds, some of whom, of course, went on to become very good players. But you'd like to think, with our home record, you know, it would be good to get through to a semi-final. And, you know, our League Cup record, people think it's actually not that good. It's actually really very, very consistent over the years. We've been in a couple of finals, 2007 and 2011, and we've been very consistent at sort of getting to this stage and then the semi-finals. So I'm sort of a believer in these competitions this season. I think the Europa League has actually served a really good purpose. People might have looked at it as, you know, a little bit of a distraction, but it's given players game time, and some of those players are now coming in and making a bit of an impact in the Premier League. So I'd say the West Ham match now on Tuesday night will be used in much the same way. And you would think, even with our second side, you know, at home, I would fancy us to get through against West Ham. And, you know, it's a chance to get another trophy on board. And, you know, it's been too long, 25 years this season since we won the League Cup. I think it would be a very, very nice round number to end that run.
I concur. Now, on to Newcastle. The boss keeping faith with that system. So the likes of Ainsley Maitland-Niles playing ahead of Sayed Kolasinac, which is a big call. Iwobi, Wilshere, these guys are getting another chance.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the two players you mentioned there were probably the two players I was most pleased about on Saturday, Russ. I think Maitland-Niles, you know, we know how hard it is for these young players at any top Premier League club to break through. But again, despite what people say, Wenger has actually been pretty good at giving young players their chance. And at the moment, I think Maitland-Niles, you know, is really looking like he can bring something to the side. He's settling in well. He could have had a goal on Saturday. And he just looks like he feels he belongs in the team. But however pleased I was about him, I got to say I was even more pleased what's happened to Jack Wilshere over the last week. Because this time last year, I think most of us probably never thought we'd see him playing for us again. Now you look what's happened. You know, he's come in the other competitions. He's got some game time under his belt. And Wenger has now decided over the last week that he is confident enough in Wilshere to start him in Premier League games. Not only has he started against West Ham and Newcastle, I think it's just as important that he finished both of those games as well. And particularly against Newcastle, I thought it was his best day in an Arsenal shirt for a number of years. He had a role in Ozil's goal, the creation of it. He might have had a goal himself when he got the knockdown from Giroud. And, you know, I just remember that night in 2011 at White Hart Lane, Russ, when, you know, Wilshere just blew me away in that North London derby. I couldn't believe, you know, what a great player he was. And he was still so young at the time. He was only 19. We all know how frustrating it's been for him in all the years since then. My word, I mean, if he can continue, you know, only a couple of games back in the side and he's already playing as well as this, what could he bring to the team in the second half of the season? And, you know, you guys over there in England should be absolutely screaming, you know, at Gareth Southgate to, you know, really give him a chance in the friendlies in the new year, because you guys always seem to have someone who comes through in the second half of the season, makes a run and becomes a starting player at the World Cup, you know, when you're in it, which, unlike us, is most times. And, you know, you look at Wilshere at the moment, he could very much be that player this season.
Okay, so one key thing as well for me, Michael, was him surviving a nasty tackle in and around his heel area as well, not reacting, not getting injured and moving on from that, which was very positive. His assist, as you rightly say, helped set up this brilliant goal from Mesut Ozil. Here's a reminder of how Mesut downed the tune.
Here is Jack Wilshere breaking forward short for Alex Iwobi, right-hand side, back towards Wilshere. Xhaka can't get there, Alexis can, and it's blocked, and then the header, it's cleared. Ozil on the volley! Oh, yes! How about that for a strike from Mesut Ozil? Mitchell. A terrific hit. Technique, power, accuracy, the lot. Rob Elliott beaten, and Arsenal lead by a goal to nil.
Beautiful goal. I was very lucky to be there and witness it live. It was an absolute cracker in real time as he took it down on his left and hammered it home. 6 goals in 5 games he's been involved in at Emirates Stadium for a man who still gets a fair bit of stick, rightly or wrongly, Michael.
Yeah, well, wrongly in my view, for sure. You know, you and I were sitting together, I think, weren't we, when he made his home debut against Stoke?
Yes.
Back in 2013. And boy, did he light the place up that day. And I think ever since then, he's been a victim of that because he made such a good start at Arsenal. I think people were expecting that week in, week out. For me, obviously, it hasn't been quite like that. But for me, he's made a significant contribution, far more significant than people, you know, have given him credit for. And I was delighted to see him have a moment like that. I think now, you know, throughout the Premier League, there's so much depth, there's so many good players. It's special moments like that that often decide games. And, you know, there aren't that many players who can actually deliver them. But Ozil was one. It always annoys me when I hear him get the criticism he does. I think he's the sort of player who contributes a huge amount to the team without it being as obvious and as noticed as it might be with other players. Yes, there have been times in big games when he hasn't quite performed, you know, to the same level that you'd expect of him. But, you know, those big games are hard. That's the thing. I mean, you're playing against better teams, against better opponents, and it's harder to have that sort of impact. So it was great to see on Saturday. I mean, you know, Arsene said after the game, we had absolutely to win. And I thought that just summed it up. Those two draws over the last week, they weren't dreadful results by any means. We're both away from home, but they were going to seem a lot worse if we didn't back them up with a home win against the side who were really struggling at the moment. And, you know, as much as we dominated the game, it was only that one moment that decided it in the end.
Yes, remember, you started your own chant, I remember, on that very night. It was quite remarkable.
Oh, you were responsible for that too, Russell.
Let's finish with just talking tactically again, if we can. Do you think that Arsenal will, at some point, revert back to a back three? And also, what's your Nacho Monreal take in now playing as a centre-half in a two rather than a three, which is effectively a new development as a first-choice option?
Yeah, I mean, I think Monreal has come on an awful lot as a player over the last couple of years. I saw him as very much a fringe player, but he's worked his way into being much more a central part of things, and I think that's very much deserved, basically, on the basis of the contribution he's made. But I think what happens sometimes is, you know, Arsene tries players out in new positions, and they work well there for a while, but then it sort of goes off the boil a little bit, and he sort of maybe, you know, again, I don't want to make this sound like a criticism, but maybe he loses his nerve a bit with some of these tactical calls. And that may lead, in answer to the other part of your question, to changes later on in the season in the formation. If you think about it, when he switched to that new formation, sort of maybe 2 months before the end of last season, it was because we were struggling. And it will be interesting to see now, if we were to start struggling again, would he go back to that? I liked the way it was going. I do like the fact that with this change in formation, that Maitland-Niles is getting a run because he's the sort of player I really feel could contribute a lot. But it's all dictated by results, isn't it? I mean, that, you know, you don't change a formation when it's going well. So let's hope there's no need for a change between now and the end of the season.
Michael, a pleasure to have you on from the Republic of Ireland, and a great festive period ahead, I trust, to you and yours. And thanks for coming on the show.
Cheers, Ross. Always a pleasure.
Danny Welbeck came through the Manchester United Academy, of course, and talks to us about going from mentee to mentor in the current Arsenal changing room.
No one makes it in football without some help along the way. I think when I was a kid and I first set out that I wanted to play football, I think people that I really looked up to was my brothers, because I've got two big brothers, and playing with them when I was a little boy, that really helped me along the way. I really enjoy playing football with them, playing with the kids on my street. Across the road from me, it's further along the line, across the road from me, growing up, Wes Brown lived directly opposite. So it was a good motivation, an inspirational person to follow. Sometimes you see him coming back from Lillishall, and obviously, you know, he signed up at Manchester United, and it gives you that kind of motivation that you can follow in the footsteps and try and emulate what he's done. Yeah, so I joined Manchester United Academy, and I remember my first coach there, Eddie. He was obviously, for me to go from Fletcher Moss and then to join the academy, it was massive for me. I remember running out for my first training session there, well, kind of trial. I'll never forget that day. But it was so good to be involved in an academy setup, and you have a lot of role models, people you look up to. Obviously, the main one, the most obvious ones would be the first team players, but there's also a lot of people along the way who help you out, the coaches, to listen to their advice, how to improve as a player, as a person. There were so many people that I struggled to name, along the way, but yeah, I think it's really important you take in advice, and it's how you deal with it, and them experiences will definitely make you a better person, better player. When you first get into the first team dressing room, I remember obviously there's you're in the same complex and you're seeing everybody, so you can't, it's a familiar face, but it's a daunting experience. Luckily for me, I had Wes Brown there, and I'd grown up across the road from him, so that was a familiar face with me. And he was one who kind of brought me in and said, like, this is Danny, you know, get to know him. And then I think as you carry on training with the first team, you kind of develop mentors, each and every single one of the players. No matter if some of them don't even talk English or they're not really that talkative, you still learn from every single one of them, and that's important. And you see, then you start to develop the mindset of, again, not losing even at such a high level. You know that even at that stage in their career, of their careers, that they don't want to lose, and that's so important. My locker, when I first got put in the first team dressing room, my locker was next to, I think I was in between Giggsy and Ronaldo. So it's like you walk in and it's like, whoa, these are two top class players. And even back then, you could see the dedication and the motivation that Ronaldo had, and I was like kind of looking at him like, wow, this is it's special what I'm seeing on the training field. And you kind of look at him then, and then you look at him now, and it's not a surprise to see the levels that he's reached. It's difficult to pick out one piece of advice that sticks out. I think there's so much that you learn along the way in your experience of living, of getting through, going through different situations. So it's hard, but I think you take everything. You take everything in, and it's how you use it. Obviously, there's a lot of talent coming through at Arsenal right now, and there's players here that you could talk to. You give them a friendly welcome, and also offer them advice as well. So it's obviously how they take it in, and how they deal with it. And yeah, I think it's important to give the advice to the young players coming through, because you was once young yourself. Do you know what? With the young boys coming through, and I know what it's like and how it feels, obviously, to make that step up from the academy and then to be with the first team. So I'm always there to talk to, whether it be about football or something else, because it's an experience that I've been through myself, and I'm always there for them to ask me any questions, or if I see something, I'll tell them what I think's better to do in a certain situation. There's not a weirdness, obviously, with young players coming through. Again, throughout your whole career, that's what you've dealt with. You've dealt with competition. And if there's a good player coming through, then, and he deserves his opportunity, then he needs to take that. And I think, as I said before, with football, scouts all over the world, you need to be at your best, keep on improving, and because if you don't improve, then there's somebody else who's going to come in and take your spot. So it's healthy competition, and it only makes you better.
The A. Machado! To Z.
Or Charlie George, who can hit him. Oh,
Arsenal.
Bergkamp found Pires. Pires towards Henry. And Arsenal found a goal.
E is for Edu. An invincible who joined us from Corinthians in 2001. He played 100 times for the Arsenal, scoring 7 goals like these.
And go to Arsenal, and they do through. In the end, Edu! Well, the delay. Wiltor had the shot. And Vieira was in a flash. So too was Edu. 1-0 Arsenal.
Henri and Edu are the main candidates. Edu's left foot through the wall and in! A goal inside 5 minutes from Edu. And Carlo Cudicini never saw it.
But it's Edu.
Yeah,
what a nice touch. Appearance.
What a nice touch.
His last game at Highbury, he could mark with a goal. He hasn't scored here, by the way, for over 18 months.
That final goal came against another E, Everton. He'd never played the Toffees outside of the country's top division, defeating them 104 times, including this 6-1 demolition, the opening day of the 2009 season.
Fabregas, chance, Danielson, and Arsenal take the lead!
Well, it was created and crafted across 20 yards out from goal, and Danielson breaks the deadlock in the Premier League.
Fabregas. Van Persie wants it played to feet. He goes to goal!
Oh, what a strike from Cesc Fabregas! Arsenal go knack with a 5th goal, and the skipper is leading by example.
Eduardo. Chance to spin and turn for Arsenal.
And it's going to sneak off the post. Eduardo follows up. Well, Arsenal, with time ticking away, produce a goal for Eduardo. A big smile for him too.
Finally, E is for our home, Emirates Stadium. He made the short move to the Emirates in 2006 and have enjoyed some very memorable moments since then, including beating Barcelona 2-1 in the year 2011.
Chipped into Van Persie. Robin Van Persie has found a way through. Valdez beaten at his near post. There didn't look to be an angle. And it's 1-1 at the Emirates. Now Arsenal played round the pressure, now they've got a chance. And there's no flag here. Can Arsenal find something right at the death? Played back for Arshav, in! 2-1! They've turned it round! Off the bench and on the score sheet! And the Gunners lead!
The Chalkboard with Adrian Clark.
Well, joining me at the chalkboard is none other than Adrian Clark. Clarky, I'm glad you're here, because last time I saw you, you weren't looking too clever.
Well, I don't think either of us were, really, were we? Yeah, Christmas party, it was good fun.
It was.
Enjoyed it.
Bounced back well, my friend. Good work. Our question at the chalkboard, what do you put our problems down to with scoring away from home?
Well, look, it's a problem that Arsene Wenger will be looking to solve, no doubt about it. I think that we just haven't played with the same tempo or drive away from home. Here at Emirates Stadium, we're starting games quickly, on the front foot, and scoring early goals. Away from home, it's been a lot more pedestrian in terms of the pace of the game. And for that reason, we haven't unsettled the opposition sides on home turf. That's been a definite problem. I also feel, we haven't been incisive enough. We haven't had midfielders or wide players making runs in beyond the striker, playing in front of the back of the opposition defence too much. We've just been too easy to defend against. I want to see guys like Ozil and Iwobi and Alexis drive to that byline much more than they have done. We saw it for about 10 minutes after half-time at West Ham, but it's been too rare an occurrence this season.
Would you therefore mix things up in terms of how you approach the game with the 11?
I think it's a mentality thing, really. I just think you've got to try and convince the players they're playing at home, even though they are away. Because here at Emirates Stadium, they do those things. They get to the byline, they play sharp 1-2s and get in beyond the opposition defence. There's no reason why that can't happen on our travels too. It's just we seem to just be content to pass the ball around in front of opposition teams. And for that reason, we're just not creating the chances and therefore not scoring enough goals.
OK, let's build up then to what is almost an ideal Christmas fixture, isn't it? It's a traditional one. It's one that's full of history. It's full of attacking players. Liverpool is going to be a really, really exciting game.
It's one of my favourite fixtures, full stop. Arsenal v Liverpool, ever since I was a tiny kid, it's had classics. It really has. So many memorable matches down the years, often full of goals. And you've got two teams, two managers, that they just want to play attacking football. Like, you can sit back and criticise both defences quite heavily. But in terms of what they do going forward, you would imagine we're in for a feast.
Of course, they've got the Fab Four. Mm-hmm. Salah, who's just incredible. Mm-hmm. Mane, Firmino, Coutinho. It's not a bad combo, is it?
It's a brilliant combo. And let's
when they play together, might I say.
Well, let's just hope that Jurgen Klopp has a brain freeze again and doesn't play them. Altogether, because I could not believe he left a couple of them out of the Merseyside derby. Absolutely bonkers, in my opinion. If all four start here at Emirates Stadium, it is going to be a challenge because they work brilliantly together. Yeah, all four got so many different qualities. But the guy that doesn't get the credit is Firmino. But he's the glue that knits that unit together. Very unselfish, works hard, and he's got quality as well inside the box. So don't underestimate Firmino.
How do you approach it then as Arsenal? Do you go hell-bent on trying to fight fire with fire? Or is it a case of just trying to maybe a bit more stable and a bit more solid?
It's a tough one. I mean, yeah, we don't want to be behind early on like we were against Manchester United. So I think there has to be not a gung-ho attitude. I would look at the Spurs game as the prime example of how Arsenal should be approaching home games. It was aggressive. Aggressive in everything that Arsenal did off the ball and on it without ever really leaving too many holes. That's the best approach.
Clarkie, excellent work as ever. And if you were the boss preparing to send the team out for this massive fixture, what would your 5-second team talk be?
I'd go tactical. I'd say I want four players back at all times. I know we're at home, but when one fullback goes, the other stays back. Granit Xhaka, you stay back as well. We just let the front five attack and that'll do us.
OK, fantastic thoughts. Let's now prepare to go toe-to-toe ourselves in this.
Reign of Arsenal.
Well, the Arsenal Weekly podcast producer, Liam Roberts, has been dutifully watching us eagle-eyed in the studio as ever. Liam, how's it going?
All good, thanks, guys. Yeah, so last one before Christmas now, so... It's going to be either a week three triumph for Adrian or the usual from Russ.
Which is a week one triumph and then an insipid failure.
Yeah, I'm not anticipating a Christmas knees up after this.
Yeah, I love how this has become a thing now, the week three curse. So, so last week, AD, you won again, so you'll be answering questions on...
Yeah, the famous 1993 League and FA Cup double.
Correct, yes. And Russ, you've gone a bit left field.
I have, because one of the questions I got wrong was players to have left Arsenal at the end of the 2008 campaign. And I just thought, why not? I'll go for one of those, of which there were five. And I've picked Mattia Flamini, his life and times, Arsenal and beyond.
Yeah, it was quite interesting researching that, actually. So I think last week it was...
I tried to set my stall out. Well, I did. I just set it out poorly.
So, AD, this is going to be a key decision.
Look, I'm going to go first. Yeah, let's just do this and see if I can get at least one.
OK, week three, cup double season. Question starting now. How many goals did we score in the cup competition combined?
Oh, goodness. That's a beast, isn't it? God. How long have we got? You probably haven't got long enough for me to add it up. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6. Oh, look, it's going to take me too long. So I'm going to say 28.
33. Unlucky. Question two. How many games did we play at Highbury on the cup run?
How many games at Highbury? Interesting. Right. Stat ones here, haven't we? So the first round, yes. Second round, yes, because it was a replay. Forest away. Blah, 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 blah. Definitely have Palace at home. We have Forest at home. We had Forest at home. It's four... So, FA Cup away. It's fine. Again, look, it's going to take me ages. I would say...
It's already taking you ages.
I would say seven.
6, unlucky. Oh.
I'm enjoying too this. Long last week.
Yeah, I'm enjoying this. Okay, question 3. We beat Millwall in the shootout.
We did.
3-1. Yeah. Who scored Arsenal's penalties?
Oh, come on. Ridiculous.
3-3.
no idea. Well, I've got to get all three or just one of them?
Got to get all three.
Ian Wright, Alan Smith, Kevin Campbell.
2 out of 3, not bad. Third one, friend of the show, David Hillier, with probably the worst penalty I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, if you get a chance, watch it. It's terrible.
Well, you sat through it. Wow. You did, doing his research
doing
here,
the research.
It?
Question 4. Who received their only yellow card of their career?
Alan Smith.
Oh, he's done it already.
Alan Smith. Extra time of the replay, wasn't it, in the FA Cup
Indeed.
Final?
Yes.
Can you believe it? Yeah, he picked up his one and only yellow card. So, yeah, look, one.
One. Woo-hoo. That's a... They were good questions.
They were tough.
OK, so, Russ, question number 1. Matthew Flamini, week 1. Matthew made his Arsenal debut and scored his first goal against the same team a year apart. Which team was it?
It was Everton.
Correct. Which number did he wear for AC Milan?
He wore the year of his birth, which was 1984.
Correct. 84, not 1984.
That'd be a really long number.
No, I know what you meant. Who did he make his second debut for us against?
Spurs.
Correct. And how many French caps has he won?
3.
Indeed, 4 out of 4.
Bravo.
Merci. Needed badly after the general way the last 6 weeks of this have gone. I was close to you that I think I've slipped an epic amount behind you, which, of course, we'll find out next week, Liam, because we're going to take a festive break, I'm right in saying, but you're going to tot up all the scores.
Correct, and I've got a bit of a surprise, maybe a bit of a treat for you guys. I've absolutely terrorised you for half a season now on these questions. And so for 1 week only, I will give you the chance to get your own back and I will be sitting in the hot seat for Brain of Arsenal with my specialist subject.
Which is?
The Premier League career of Petr Cech.
Brilliant.
My favourite Arsenal player.
I'm looking forward to that.
So, yeah, and I'd go however you want. If you want week one questions, I don't mind going week one questions.
We're going week three.
You've caught Clarkie at a point that you've just, you know, taken his pants down. So
I will be in the hot seat next week.
Excellent stuff. Liam Clarkie, when can we either see or hear you again?
I will be... I'll be doing the breakdown of the Liverpool game, so that'll be the next time I'm on Arsenal Player.
So that's full time on this week's show. Our thanks to Danny Welbeck, to Michael McMullen and to Adrian Clarke for their contributions today. We'd like to know how we're doing on the podcast, so please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. You can subscribe as well and also find us on Acast these days. Remember, get your questions into Clarkie from the chalkboard as well on Twitter using the hashtag ArsenalWeekly. We're back on Christmas Eve with all the reaction to our game against Liverpool, previewing the rest of the Christmas fixture list.
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.